art thou, O great mountain. Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you this morning. We give you all the praise. Thank you because this is another opportunity to bring your word. We ask that you speak to us. Let your word come alive. Let it set free. Let it light break. We ask, O Lord, that your anointing will rest upon your word and it will bring liberty to our spirits in the name of Jesus. It will bring freedom to our soul in the name of Jesus. And it will bring health to our bodies in Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Hallelujah. I will be speaking to us on the signs of unhealthy soul ties. The signs of unhealthy soul ties. The human is created for relationships. And because we are created for relationships, that relationship can often gravitate into the negative or the positive depending on how it is handled and oftentimes depending on who is involved. So it's imperative for us that we should learn this area of soul ties so that we can have an understanding of what God expects of us. And of course, if we have been involved in a negative relationship or having an unhealthy soul tie, then we can easily disconnect. And I'll be showing us how we can disconnect from such. Let's begin with the scripture in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. There the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now I want us to look at that scripture very carefully because it says man became a living soul, and this suggests to us that the soul is alive. You see, the soul is not some abstract entity that is part of human. It's alive, it's living, it's vital. You see, the soul and the body are two different things. As a matter of fact, man is a tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body. And the way we understand the relationship is that man is a spirit. He has a living soul and he lives in a body. And so the spirit is the inner man through which God communicates. And then the soul is the expression through which man processes thoughts. And all of that is the place for logic, for will, for emotions. While the body is the house of the spirit. And so we see these three different entities. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." He said, "But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And that again tells us that the soul has life. Because that phrase, Jesus Christ said, they are unable to kill the soul. That means the soul is alive. However, like I noted earlier, the soul is not your spirit. The soul is different from the spirit. And we see this difference highlighted in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow." And the Bible says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we see that there is a division between the spirit and the soul. And we know that what can divide the spirit and the soul is God's word, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. that there is something called the two-edged sword that can divide asunder the soul and the spirit. And so we see that we have a spirit, soul, and body. And the Bible didn't talk about body tie. Didn't talk about spirit tie. It says soul tie. And of course, we may not even be able to see the phrase soul tie in the Bible, but we often see the phrase that souls knitted together. And that is what soul tie is. In soul ties, your intellect, your emotions, and your will can be tampered with and controlled by another. When there's a soul tie, it's as if you are subject to somebody else. You see, God has not created us in such a way that one individual will be controlling another. We are supposed to be responsible for our decisions. And that is why even God does not tamper with our will. Think about it. If God can tamper with our will, He will just go ahead and force everybody to accept Jesus Christ into their lives and as their personal Savior and as their Lord. But He doesn't do that. He respects our choice, our will. And so we understand how this thing works. A soul tie is like a linkage in the soul realm between two people. Their souls are linked together. And we're going to be looking at some of these. And sometimes there can be positive result, and sometimes there will be negative result. What is a soul tie? Can we just attempt to define? What is a soul tie? A soul tie is a cleaving together, a relationship whereby two souls are joined or knitted together in a sense of becoming one. It is also defined as a spiritual connection between two people who have been physically intimate with each other or who have had an intense emotional or spiritual association or relationship. So we see that when it comes to soul tie, there's a knitting together, there's a cleaving together. And the word cleave actually means to knit together. You remember how our moms, our mothers, our grandmas used to knit clothes and do it together. They are bringing, you know, different parts of the clothes together to form a material that cannot be easily torn apart. So now the person who is in a soul tie feels controlled by the other person, as if his or her independence must be sacrificed due to the influence or the authority of the other person. So in a situation of a soul tie, you can see somebody deferring to another person uncontrollably. Sometimes he or she is trying to get out of it logically, that why am I going back to this person? What am I doing with this person? But he's unable or she's unable to set himself or herself free. That is what you call an example of a soul tie. What will soul ties do? What soul ties do? Let's take a look. Now, in the Bible, like I said earlier, you may not find the phrase soul tie. It doesn't use the word soul tie, but the Bible talks about soul ties. And that is when you find scriptures where it says their souls are knitted together. It's talking about soul ties in that place. Then when it talks about becoming one flesh, it's talking about soul tie. So a soul tie in its basic, simplest form can have a lot of functions. It basically ties two souls together in the realm of the spirit. They are linked together. It's as if they cannot operate independently of themselves. They are kind of dependent on each other. Now, soul ties between married couples will draw them together almost like a magnet. Now, we can say that is a positive a soul tie in that place, because a husband and a wife are supposed to be close to each other. There's a part in the scripture where the Bible says the desire of the woman will always be towards the man. It's a form of soul tie, but it's positive because it's between a married couple. However, soul ties between fornicators or adulterers will draw them together in an unhealthy way. For example, let's assume the guy is an abuser and is beating up this lady. But if there's a soul tie, what you will find is that the lady keeps on going back to the guy. And everybody around her is saying, what's your problem? This guy is beating you. Why don't you leave him alone? Why don't you get out of his life? But she found herself drawn back to him all of the time. That is what a soul tie does. She runs back to him. She feels abused. She feels like a dirt. But she keeps on going back. Why? There's an invisible force, a soul tie, that binds them together in the realm of the spirit. Now, how are soul ties formed? Let's take a look at that. How are they formed? Perhaps if we know how soul ties are formed, then we want to be careful in the kind of relationships we get into, and then we also know how to draw boundaries. Number one, close relationships. That's the number one way by which soul ties are formed. Close relationships. And extremely close relationships can engender soul ties, can cause the souls to be knitted together. A good example of that is in 1 Samuel 18:1. The Bible says, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And the Bible says Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now these guys were knitted together in the realm of the spirit in their souls. David and Jonathan. This is not a gay relationship. This is not an homosexual relationship. It's simply a soul tie that they had to cut a covenant between themselves. So now, close relationship. When you idolize someone extremely, a soul tie can be formed. When you idolize music celebrities, there can be a soul tie. You can start to dream about them. You can start to talk like them, behave like them. You are drawn to them. You listen to their music all the time. You sleep with their music. You wake up with their music. You idolize them. There may be a soul tie. Somebody may ask me, how is this one negative then? It becomes negative because now you are preferring them on a higher level of relationship, and it becomes a conflict between you and God. They are almost replacing God in your life, and that's something God frowns at. Number two way through which soul ties can be formed is through vows, commitments, and agreements. You want to be careful the kind of vows and agreements and commitments we make, verbal commitments and agreements. Vows are known to bind the soul together. I'll give you an example in Numbers chapter 30 verse 2. It says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind the soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeded out of his mouth. Now, in that scripture, we see the power of a vow. You want to be careful about the kind of people you make vows to. Things you say like, I'm going to die in your hands. There's nothing I can ever do. I can't do anything without you. I can't succeed without you. If you're not there, I will die. All those kind of things, you need to be very careful, because soul ties can be established by your words. Why is it that vows and commitments are that powerful? Because your words are spirit. Said the words I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. So words have life. And so you can use words to establish commitments and vows, which can indeed lead to soul ties. Number three. Before I even go to number three, you know, what makes a marriage ceremony powerful is a vow. Exchange of vows becomes so powerful. And God says, because of that vow, you shouldn't deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. In the book of Malachi, God said that. All right, let's go to number three, which is sexual relations. Now, like I said earlier, godly couples in marriage, soul ties can be formed, and that's cool. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 31 explains to us that kind of soul tie. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. One flesh. How do two people become one flesh when they are two different individuals? Is soul tie. And the Bible is making us to understand there that the soul tie between a husband and a wife is unbreakable by man. Not even divorce can break it. Mark chapter 10, 8 to 9. And they twain shall become one flesh. So then, they are no more twine, but one flesh. And it says, what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It's telling us how powerful the soul tie between a husband and a wife can be. However, when a person has ungodly sexual relationship with another person, an ungodly soul tie is formed. This person is not your husband. Maybe another person's husband or another person's wife, and then you get involved in a sexual relationship, an ungodly soul tie will be formed. You will find yourself going back to this guy or this lady. You will know it is wrong. At the risk of being caught, of being discovered, you will keep on going back. It's because there's a presence of soul tie that needs to be broken. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, 12 to 20. I'll read very quickly. It says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. It's a meat for the belly, and the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Word, know ye not that it which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. So there can be a sexual relationship between a man and a harlot, and then a soul tie will be formed. And then that's why you find some men, they usually like to go back to one particular harlot. It's because a soul tie has been formed. They want to go to a particular prostitute. A soul tie has been formed. In verse 17, it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. In verse 18, it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without a body, but he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. It's a word. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. You see, the Bible is explaining to us here that there's a possibility of being joined to an harlot. It said, don't make the members of Christ to become members of an harlot. How will that happen? It's through soul tie. You see, you have a sexual relationship with an harlot. You don't live with the harlot. You don't stay in a house. You don't eat in a house. You probably exchange sexual relationship in less than 10, 15, 20 minutes. But then you go back. And there's a soul tie in the realm of the spirit. There's a linkage of souls. You can be miles apart, and soul ties are linking you together. You see, soul ties, they are like tunnels in the realm of the spirit, and they can link people together illegally. The soul tie fragments the soul and is very destructive. That is why people who may have many past relationships, they find it very difficult to bond or be joined to anybody because their soul is fragmented. Their soul, as it were, is shattered in pieces. You need to understand that sex is a tri-dimensional experience. Spirit, soul, and body. A lot of people think that it's just a body thing. No. It affects you in the realm of the spirit, realm of the soul, and realm of the body. As the body is interlocked and sweating in a sexual experience, the souls are attaching to each other and exchanging stores. And the spirit is dying as well. Three different levels. So this is why anytime you have sex with someone, you bond with that person. You open up yourself to the afflictions in the life of that person. You open up yourself to the spirit controlling that person. You open up yourself to the demonic influences that is afflicting that person in a sexual experience. There's a little bit of study in science about soul ties. Let's take a look at it. Soul ties and science. Listen to this. Whenever a person is sexually involved with another person, neurochemical changes occur in both of their brains that encourage what science called limbic emotional bonding. Limbic. L-I-M-B-I-C. Limbic emotional bonding. Now, limbic bonding is the reason that casual sex doesn't really work for most people on a whole mind and body level. So two people may decide to have sex just for the fun of it. Just for the fun of it. Maybe you just meet casually and then they have a sexual experience. And they believe that, oh, it was all over in 10 minutes. But yet, something occurs on another level that they might not have decided at all. They didn't plan to have commitments. They didn't plan to have a relationship. But there's a bonding, a limbic bonding in the realm of the soul. This attachment, this limbic bonding is what we call soul ties. So in the real sense of it, there's not like one night stand. You may call it one night stand, and yet could be 10 years stand with affliction because of soul ties. You see, sex is like gluing two pieces of wood together, and then the next day you want to rip them apart. You see, the process of ripping them apart, each of the wood is going to come out with pieces from the other one. Tiny pieces from each of them. They are going to exchange thoughts. That's what happens when it comes to sexual relationship. Now you can begin to imagine what happens when someone has multiple sexual partners. Unhealthy soul ties are often the ramifications of having partners that you create a lifelong bond with through sexual encounters. There's something that happens when there's a sexual experience. The brain produces a chemical called dopamine. And this dopamine is the same chemical that feeds the gambling addiction, your urge to take chocolate, or even the junkie's need for another fix. Dopamine is often described as the feel-good chemical because it plays a major role. You see, your body doesn't care whether it's cocaine or chocolate or cupcake or some sexual experience. The reality is that dopamine will be produced. And when dopamine is produced, it places you in a state where you want that experience again. Whether you know it is beneficial or not, you just want it again because dopamine has been produced at the time you were having that experience. This is why it hurts to break up in relationship. Soul ties are like super glue. If you have a sexual encounter outside of marriage, either consensual or forced, there's a lingering soul tie. And you need to know whether they are really there so that you know whether they need to be broken or not. There are three ways unhealthy soul ties take place. Number one is when there's a wrong perspective of sex. You see, when there's a wrong perspective of sex, people are misinformed. They think sex is strictly a single dimensional act. However, sex affects the spiritual realm, emotional realm, and the physical realm. We have an example of Judah and Tamar in Genesis 38:15. The Bible says, when Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot because she had covered her face. And he said in verse 18, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet and a bracelet and a staff that is in her hand, and he gave it to her, and he came in unto her, and she conceived by him. You see this example here. Judas thought that he can just meet an harlot on the road and then have a casual sexual experience and it will be over, not knowing it was his daughter-in-law. And of course, we know what happened after the whole story. The second way through which an unhealthy soul tie can take place is through ignorance about commitment. See, when you don't understand commitment and you are ignorant about it, a soul tie can be created. A person, usually the lady, often thinks, if I give myself to this man in a sexual experience, yes, he will probably trust me more. That will probably mean he will be committed to marrying me. But of course, we know it doesn't happen that way. She soon discovers that her sexual partner is taking advantage of her. And so the need for intimacy is never realized. So what happened now is that she's bonded to the person she needed to break from. Now she has realized, this person doesn't really love me, but then she can't leave him. And people are asking, this guy is not going to marry you, why didn't you leave him? But she goes back right there the following day. It's because of soul ties. We have an example of that in Genesis 29:32. Leah and Jacob, the Bible says, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord had looked upon my affliction, now therefore my husband will love me. But did he love her? No, he never did. His love was towards Rachel. She kept on doing all she could in order to buy the love, but it never happened. Number three, unhealthy soul ties can be formed as a result of ignorance about marriage vows. Two people that are committed to each other, and they just think marriage vow is just a formality. So they get married and they start cheating on each other. They go out, get involved with a man. The wife gets involved with another man. And after some time, they discover. And so they separate or they divorce. However, their soul remains fragmented. They are wounded in their souls. Their souls are ripped apart. There's a tearing. And so they live with that wound and probably go and remarry, only to discover that that one is not working again. It's because of fragmented soul that has not been dealt with. So we're going to move on to see the signs that you have, or the signs that one may have an unhealthy soul tie. Signs that one may have an unhealthy soul tie. Let's go into the scriptures and see. Number one is refusal to cut off connection of relationships that are no longer beneficial. You see, you've been in a relationship that is not beneficial, emotionally, physically, or spiritually, and yet you feel so attached to this person. Everybody's telling you, this is not benefiting you in any way. This is a risky relationship for you. It's a dangerous one. This person doesn't love you. Get out of it. But you refuse to simply cut off. You knew it was not going to work. You knew nothing is going to come out of it, and yet you stubbornly hold on to it. It could be an indication of a soul tie. An example of that is Samson and Delilah. Samson and Delilah is an example of refusal to cut off connection. Samson knew that Delilah was there to kill him, and yet he refused to cut it off. In Judges 16:16-17, the Bible says, it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, then he told her all his heart and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. You see, Samson told her his secrets, despite knowing that that could be his death sentence. This is because of a soul tie. Number two sign of an unhealthy soul tie: obsessive thoughts. Obsessive thoughts. You see, you've been in a particular relationship and then you've left long ago, but you begin to think obsessively about this person. You just couldn't get out the thoughts of this person out of your mind. You are always thinking, you are always going back. You are probably even in another relationship or married to another person, and yet the thoughts of this person keeps on filtering in. It could be as a result of a soul tie. Number three, when you have a strange feeling. You see, whenever you want to do something, you want to make a decision, or you're having a conversation with another person, you have this feeling that this person is with you, or around you, or is watching you. You've left him or her. You are no longer in relationship. You used to be together. You've moved on with your life, but yet at critical points in your life, you have a feeling he's around. You have a feeling she's around. You have a feeling he's watching you. It could be as a result of a soul tie. Number four sign that there could be an unhealthy soul tie is inability to restrain yourself. You see, you have sex with this particular person, and then you couldn't let go. You are always thinking about this person, always filling your mind with this person. You try to get this person out of your mind, but you couldn't. It may be because of a soul tie. You keep on visualizing this person throughout the time. Number five signs of an unhealthy soul tie is replication of traits and offenses. You see, in this particular situation, you take on the traits and offenses of the person whom your soul is tied with. You even want to go ahead and revenge on the behalf of that person. You want to perpetuate the offense of that person. And we see an example of this with Herodias and her daughter in Mark chapter 6, verses 24 to 95. The Bible says she went forth, sent unto her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in straight away with haste unto the king and asked, saying, "I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." Here is a case of the daughter perpetrating the offense of her mom. Number six sign of unhealthy soul tie is absurd rights. In this particular situation, you are defending a relationship that you know is toxic. Everybody is telling you that this is not beneficial, but you always have your defense mechanism in place. It could be as a result of a soul tie. This person is destroying you in a way. It's not beneficial to you, maybe abusing you, and yet you kept on defending this person. A situation of this is between Samson and his parents. Samson refused to listen to his parents. His parents obviously told him, "This is wrong, you can't do this," but he refused to listen. In Judges chapter 14 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take the wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said unto her father, "Get her for me, for she pleased me well." Samson refused to listen to his parents, despite knowing that what they are saying is right. Number seven sign of an unhealthy soul tie is simultaneous experiences. You are in a relationship with this person. You've left this person. You've left her. But you find out that you are having simultaneous experiences. You have, at the same time, you are having accidents. At the same time, you fall sick. At the same time, both of you have malaria. At the same time, you have this kind of craving. At the same time, you bought the same type of thing without contacting each other. At the same time, you are having a certain kind of addiction. This could be as a result of soul tie. Simultaneous moods. Depressed at the same time. Happy at the same time. Number eight sign of an unhealthy soul tie is when you begin to hear his or her voice in your head. Amnon and Tamar is a classic example of this. Amnon and Tamar, we know the story. They were both David's children. But in 2 Samuel 13, 1 to 2, it says, "It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon taught it her to do anything unto her." You see, Amnon got to a place of obsession to the point that he became sick because of his sister. Number nine sign of an unhealthy soul tie is when you have this obsessive daytime thoughts about the person. You are always thinking about this person. Your thoughts are aggregated in the direction of this person, almost like a magnet. You couldn't let go. It could be as a result of a soul tie. Do we have an example in the scripture? Yes, David and Bathsheba is a classic example. In 2 Samuel 11, 3 to 4, David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite? And David sent the messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she purified from uncleanness, and she returned to her house. And so David went ahead and killed the husband of Bathsheba, committed adultery with Bathsheba, killed Uriah. And at the end of the day, all could be tied to this serious soul tie. See, David had other wives. David had other women in his harem, concubines, and yet there's something about Bathsheba. It could be a soul tie. Number 10, dreams could be a sign of an healthy soul tie. You dream or you wake up at night thinking about someone on a regular basis. Oppressive sexual dreams are often involved. This could be a soul tie. Number 11, emotional pain. After leaving this person, you couldn't get out of this emotional pain. Emotional pain is sustained. After an extended period of time in the relationship with this person, you enter into depression, you enter into pain. Do we have an example in the scripture? An example is Tamar. In 2 Samuel 13:20, the Bible says, Absalom, her brother, said unto her, Has Amnon thy brother been with thee? He said, Behold now thy peace, my sister. He is your brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate, you see. Emotional pain, perpetual pain. She remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. History tells us she never got married. She was just there, dying in pain by the day. Soul tie. Number 12, which is the last one we're looking at. Number 12 sign that could be an unhealthy soul tie is when you are perpetually drawn back. Every time you see the person or you talk to this person, the relationship is over or you are drawn back to the person. After a while, you say, Never, I will never come here again. But then you go back again after a while. You keep going back after a while. You are married, but you keep going back again. This could be as a result of a soul tie. Let me have us know, as I bring this message to an end, that God wants unhealthy soul ties broken. This is why, by the next message, I will be dealing with how to break unhealthy soul tie. It's a message you don't want to miss. God desires to restore our souls that we might be able to seek Him with our whole heart, spirit, soul, and body. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, He says, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray to God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. You see, spirit, soul, body, preserved blameless. I want you to know that God wants you free. In the next teaching series, I'll be dealing with how to break out of a soul tie in the event of one. But before we go, let me pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up everybody under the sound of my voice. If there be any kind of soul tie, we break it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Whosoever the Son of Man shall set free shall be free indeed. I proclaim your freedom in the name of Jesus. I declare your freedom. I bind every negative powers that be, and I declare you are set free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God will preserve you. My God will protect you. My God will shield you. Every plans of the devil over your life are frustrated. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God bless you. Thanks for joining us online. See you at the next service where we'll be dealing without to break soul ties. God bless you. If you are here this morning and you have not given your life to Jesus, I would like to present us an opportunity to do so. It is the greatest decision you will ever take in your life. If you are making that decision this morning, say after me, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. I declare you died for my sin. You rose up on the third day. From today, I'm a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. In Jesus' name. Congratulations if you prayed that prayer. Welcome to the body of Christ. Welcome to God's kingdom. Please kindly leave a comment or send us a message on any of our social media handles so that we can send you the relevant materials. God bless you.
This message is brought to you by Dunamis and Sophia Noah, and powered by the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Shouts of Grace Center, and Kisses and Hugs Club, an online ministry to singles and married couples. Connect with us on Instagram
at Pastor Dunamis, at Pastor Sophia Bola, at Shouts of Grace Center, at KC _ Global, on Facebook at KC Global,
on YouTube at Dunamis Tunde Nowo, on MixLR at KC Global. Visit our website www.kissesandhugs.com
via our mail at kacpartners@gmail.com to partner with us. kissesandhugs.com/partnership.
God bless you.